This is Hannah Fearman, and I'm here at Vet City Con with Chris and Chris, and they tell you to go fuck yourself.
Hi, everybody. Damian Leone, writer-director of Terrifier. Chris and Chris said go fuck yourself.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Cause they love him in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico. They say I believe in Joe Hendry.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Am I wearing a robe? It is an all-new episode of FWB Podcast. They have a 99% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and you know what that means. It's Chris and also Chris.
Man, he's
dude,
on
it
this week.
Were you lip-singing the entire time?
God.
I was.
I was waiting for a tongue lashing from Satan, but he's in too good of a mood this week.
Yeah, he's feeling good. He's feeling good. Someone had to sell their soul to him recently.
It had to have been somebody believed in Joe Hendry and Satan. So there you go, man. How are you, buddy?
Dude, now that I've heard that Joe Hendry song, I am ready to just like topple a government or something.
Ready? I'm ready to run through a brick wall, man. It's
hell yeah.
Like that's what it's all about, man. Gosh, it's too short though. That's my only note. It's like 9 out of 10. One note, too short. Like a midget at a urinal. It's just a bit too short. The other one for that is like a midget at a urinal. I got to be on my toes. But in this case, it's just too short, man.
Dude, I am proud of myself for
I'm proud of you too.
Getting you to say that's enough of the group chat today with that meme.
Oh, I was done. Like I opened it up and like we were, you know, talking before the show and I pulled up because I'm like, oh, I got a couple texts in the group chat. All right. And I looked at it and I was just like, yep, that's enough of that for the night. We're done. Like we are officially done. That's that. It was nice while it lasted today. Like we're out, man. I don't know about all that.
Hey, you're welcome. What can I say?
That's not what I was, that's not the words I would have picked, but you know, hey, I would not have it any other way from you is what I'll say.
Yeah.
I would not have it any other way. So, gosh, yeah. I didn't even know. I got rocked to my core after that one. I was at the radio this past week and we were talking about something. Tony and I were talking about something. And I made the joke of like you just want me to Google that because you know that every single thing that you Google and have Googled under your, like if you're logged into your account, it's saved.
Yeah.
Like from the beginning of time when you started to use Google and you like you have that Google account, every single thing that you have ever searched is saved. Like it's cataloged. You can actually go back and look through your search history, which is also, it'll take you down a peg or two if you go back like 3 years and look at what you were searching. Yeah, at some point we'll get brave enough to play that game, but I don't know that we're going to do that today.
I need you to tell me how to do this.
Yeah, I will. Like after the show, like I'll show you how to go back and look through. The other thing that you can do also, which is hilarious, but also like flat out terrifying, is if you ever have an office job and you have where it's like multiple people that are on the same network that are logged into their Google accounts and they do searches, you can see other people's searches too. And it's like you can't see who searched it, but you can see the searches that go through your network. which is also interesting to see, because at some random points when I had an office job where we could do that, I would just randomly yell out, "Who searched for this?" And like, it would just be like, you know, and I would do it like every like month and a half or so. So like people would kind of forget that you could do it. And like, they would get back into like feeling comfortable searching stuff that, you know, you probably don't want to search at work. And I don't mean like, you know, like that type of stuff, but like people would search stuff that's like kind of like personal stuff, like trying to solve an issue that they're facing like personally. So like, you would just yell out like, "Hey, who's searching for like bald spot remedy?" And like, it could be anybody, because I worked in an office where there was like 25 people that were all connected to the thing. And so you just yell it out, and like, you would just hear silence, because there'd be one person that would just be going shit, 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 shit. And everybody else would be listening for who it is that searched it. And it makes for the best time pretty much ever. So like, that's a super fun game. I know that's not a thing that you do.
Nah. I don't have to search anything about being bald.
No. But yeah, hold on a second. I'm going to send you a screenshot of how you view your search history. And okay. At some point, we'll play a game where we'll go back and we'll like look at our search history, and we'll play a game of like, what were we searching for? Gosh, no, you know what we should do? Oh, shit.
What should we do? I love us booking shows during shows.
We need a third party. And what we need to do is we each pick like five of our search history things, and we compile them, and then we'll blind draw them, and then this person has to guess who they think two of us. Yes.
Oh, that's a great video idea.
Oh, that's a good contest. Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, at some point that's probably going to be on our YouTube channel, where we'll have which one of us searched for it, and we could turn it into like a game show where like people can ring in and guess one of us, or like we'll have people just because I have decades of Google searches under this account, because like I've had this Google account since like literally 2002 or 2003. So
I think I've had mine since like 05 or 06.
Gosh, that's supposed to be so good. It's so perfect. Like, this is so good. That's going to be a fun game. Because, yeah, you can. Like, you can go in and you can look at your search history. And it will. If you go back like a couple years, like you go back far enough where like you don't remember where you were at that point in life. And like, it will probably damage you to know what you were searching. And it will it will tell you like, you know, you Googled this and then like you went to this link and stuff. And it's just like, oh my, like, number one, they have way too much information on me. And number two, I didn't think it would be somehow I got less weird as I got older, because I was looking up some really weird stuff back in the day. Somehow I got less weird, which I didn't think was possible. But here we are. So, you know, that's just how it goes. But,
I don't know. I don't know how I want to word this.
This is always my favorite thing.
Is there anything you just downright won't search for?
Okay. So like, let's take out all the normal, like, stuff that people won't. Like you normally wouldn't search for, right?
So porn is off the table.
Right, like any kind of like sub genre of porn, like let's take that off the table, because like, you know, you could get real deep in the trenches on that and really kind of get caught up in that. Now I feel like that's too much of like a technicality. I will tell you one thing that I started to search for. And now I actively refuse. because it freaked me out so much that I won't do it.
Okay.
And, you know, this is coming from a guy who, like, for fun, in the afternoons, I will watch YouTube videos of people urban exploring, and there's, like, people inside the house where they're exploring, or, like, the abandoned whatever. I'll watch, like top 20 or top 10 most disturbing things caught on, like, Ring door cameras, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'll watch that shit, which is, like, friggin' crazy, but this is what got me. So, way back when, hold on, I'm gonna look up the actual year, because I want to I want to make sure that I get this right.
Okay.
So it was in the late 80s, early 90s. Specifically, it ended in 1991. There was a reporter, and I originally saw this on Unsolved Mysteries, okay? And the Unsolved Mysteries segment, like, it made me super curious about it. And so I started to look it up, and it freaked me out so bad I had to stop. So basically, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was this company who made they made computer software, and it was computer software called, I believe the software, it might have been the company, was called Innslaw. And what they did was, it was basically software designed around criminal justice, the police. It was used by, like, police departments and stuff. And so they licensed out their software to the United States government. And so after a certain amount of time, the government stopped paying their licensing fee. Mm-hmm. And it was like they had like a 3 or 5 year agreement. And after like 1 year, the government stopped paying them. And so it turns out that, like, the United States government had sold that software to other countries, allegedly. Ooh. Allegedly, and used that money to fund some of the more under the table, not public endeavors that they had, like, mm-hmm. like if you're familiar at all with the Iran-Contra stuff, like a lot
vaguely.
Of the, like it's a lot of, like, really clandestine, like real heavy spy stuff, real like super internationally criminal stuff, you know, that was not on the up and up. But, like, that funding supposedly came from the government illegally licensing out and selling this software from this company. And the government said that they weren't going to pay this company, and basically put the company out of business. Mm-hmm. And it became, like, there was a congressional hearing about it, and there was, like, a whole bunch of stuff where, like, this one guy who had a bunch of, he said that he had, like, paperwork and stuff that proved a bunch of stuff. As soon as he came public, within a day or two, he was arrested. He was pulled over seemingly at random and was arrested for having drugs in his car, even though he had never used drugs in his life, and was put away in jail. And like, all of his paperwork was gone. So there was a reporter. And his name was Danny Casalero. And so he started researching this company and, like, what happened. And so he starts, like, uncovering a whole bunch of other stuff that's, like, layered upon layered upon layered, that is central to this Innslaw situation. And it's like, there's so many things to it. He starts calling it the octopus. And he says it's this, like, government, it's inside the government. And, like, it's got, you know, like the name would suggest, it's got a bunch of different arms that are in a bunch of different things. And, like, none of them are on the up and up. They're all shady and all this stuff. So he's compiling all this data on it. and he goes to he's a reporter for I want to say like the Washington Post or like some newspaper. And he goes to Washington, D.C., and he says, this is the last person that I need to talk to before I can publish my story. This person that I'm meeting has like the last documents that I need. And if this checks out, which all signs point to it will, I'm going to be able to publish this story. Like, it'll be done. And he goes to his hotel and he has all of his paperwork and stuff with him. And a couple days later, when it's checkout time, the people go in to clean the room and they find him in the bathtub with like where he slashed his wrists.
Oh, God.
And the thing about it is like all of his paperwork was gone. Like everything that he brought with him was gone. There was a note that was left in the room, but it was not his handwriting and it was signed. Like they spelled a couple names wrong of like his family and stuff. And he was notoriously like when he would go to the doctor's office, like he didn't want to get shots ever because he was afraid of needles and he was afraid of blood. And apparently like with his, when he slashed his wrist, there was like 12 or 13 slashes in each wrist. So it was like, Jesus. He like really had to have gone to town. So they ruled it a suicide despite all the evidence to the contrary. And the next day, the cleaning crew went in under the orders of the hotel and cleaned the room. And the guy's body was, like the reporter, his body was cremated before his family was notified. And because like his brother is was a doctor, and like found out on, it was like Tuesday, it was I think a Monday that he found out, and he called the police department or the coroner's office, and they were like, oh yeah, we cremated the body already. And he was like, it happened on like, they found him on like Saturday or Thursday, like Thursday, Friday or Saturday. Like they found him. And then within like 2 or 3 days, they had already cremated him. And the only reason the guy found out was because he actually called, like nobody notified him at all or any of the family. So this, like the big conspiracy is, and they actually, there's a Netflix three-part series on it that they just released like a month ago. And so like when I'm watching it, I'm like the Unsolved Mysteries segment is like 6 minutes or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like I spent more time telling you about it than the Unsolved Mysteries segment did. Sorry. but like, so I'm like, oh, I want to read about it. So I start reading about it. Like I start Googling like Inslaw and like the Inslaw hearings and stuff and like the octopus, like and all this stuff. And like the more I start reading about it, the more I'm like, fuck, I should not be looking at this. And like, it was like, it gave me like, I've never really had a moment where like I'm watching something or I'm like reading about something that's like, you know, where you have that like tingle up your spine. But mm-hmm. I swear to you, like I started reading more and more about it and I started to like, I spent a good like 2 or 3 weeks like deep diving into this. And like there came a point where I was like, if I don't stop, like I feel like something bad's gonna happen. And like I don't want to be dramatic, but I was like, I was starting to like, hey, here's some, like basically like I ended up like getting to the point where it was like, hey, here's what everybody thinks, like his connections, like here's what people think are these connections that he made, and here's evidence to back it up, and here's this stuff. It started to get real like dark web feeling, where it was like naming names of people and places and times and stuff that are like, hey, this makes sense for this to be part of it. And I was like, I need to just stop.
Because if I don't.
Yeah. I was like, I need to just not be looking this stuff up, because like it feels oogie to me. Like it just feels not great, like a great idea. And like, that's always like my tent pole or like my measuring stick for like, if I feel that way about something, I need to just stop looking it up immediately.
So back before Google had a bunch of the filters and stuff on there, if I was like watching a movie and I recognized someone, but and like I knew them by name, I would Google the actress.
Oh yeah.
Don't do that anymore.
Oh no.
Because like, you know, there was a point where like the first few things on Google would be like their IMDb page, their wiki, and then like automatically after that it was like Mr. Skin and like, you know, all the other like dirty things. So I like legitimately, it is something I have not been able to break myself of. If I recognize someone, even if I know them by name, I will look up the movie and then the cast and then click on them. So I'm not directly Googling their name.
Yeah.
I don't have anything as in depth as like, your unsolved mysteries thing. I'm pretty sure I got put on some list several years ago. There was someone on Facebook, like this is how long ago this was, like someone on Facebook was like, there's not any serial killer who was this is like whatever zodiac sign. So I Googled serial killers with that. I like literally Googled like I can't remember what it was, but for the sake of this, we'll say like Capricorn or something. I Googled like Capricorn serial killers and just like took three screenshots and posted it on our thing. But then like as soon as I did that, I was like, I'm on a fucking list somewhere now.
Yeah. You're like, oh no, I don't like this. Yeah. Trying to think of anything else that I'm like, I do a lot of like, not, I hesitate to say like conspiracy theory stuff because like I know that not like what you would think of as conspiracy, but like I'll hear a story.
Not modern day conspiracy
right.
theory.
So like, okay. So like I did a deep dive into where there was a guy who like he was going to college and he was a guy that was like my size, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like going to class one day and he's like he's running late for class, and so like he's going real fast, and there's this much bigger guy who's like kind of an asshole, and like that guy bumps him and knocks him down, and like the guy hits his head, whatever, and gets up, goes to class, and it goes through like this whole thing where like he goes to class and like he gets they get like the teacher pairs him up into the whatever this activity, and he gets partnered up with this girl and they hit it off and they end up dating and they get married and they have like they have kids and they, you know, move into this house, and you know, he's reading like every night he's reading his kids this bedtime story, and like after a while, after like years and years, like the kids are growing up and stuff, and like eventually he starts to notice that like in one of their rooms, like on the way to or the way from reading his kids' bedtime stories, like he notices that there's just something off about this lamp in their house.
Yeah.
And so it's like every night he's like looking at the lamp and he's trying to figure out like what the deal is, what's different and stuff. And like he has, you know, this conversation with his wife about like what's the deal with this lamp, and there's like a history behind this lamp, and like he keeps like he's like fixated on this lamp, and like eventually like it just starts to like consume him, and mm-hmm. like he's just fixated on this lamp every single day, and like he stops going to work, like he starts neglecting his family and stuff, and like he's just like he can't figure out what's messed up about this lamp. And like eventually, like he gave like the lamp like starts to glow real bright, and like he's like in a trance on it, and eventually it gets so bright, and all of a sudden he's back at the college when the guy knocked him down, and like none of that shit apparently ever happened. But he had like 10 years worth of like reading his kids bedtime stories and going to work and like all this stuff. Like he could recall like specific days in that time that he like vividly remembered that supposedly happened in like an instant.
You were like, dude, well, like, if I wake up tomorrow and I'm on like the floor of the fucking high school and I'm a fucking like sophomore or junior, I'm gonna be so pissed.
You're gonna be mad at me.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you're a figment of my goddamn imagination.
And because yeah, now I put it in your head that that's a thing. But like, so like, it's stuff like that that I'm like, oh shit. So like, I'll start like deep diving about that story, and I'm like, oh my god, like that's crazy, and like start like, so I feel like I'm slowly turning into like this is how like Dan Aykroyd started believing in ghosts and shit, and now he's like batshit crazy, but in like a fun way. But like, I feel like I'm one of these like crackpots that's like, you know, so I had to stop looking up that stuff because I'm like, man, at some point I'm going to be like, you know, like random people will just be like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, did have I told you the story about that guy and his lamp? People be like, fucking no, like leave me alone, weirdo. But like that stuff, like I hear stuff like that and I just get like, that stuff is just like fascinating to me. So I'm like, oh, I got to read about all about that. And then like, I get to the point where I'm like, I can feel myself kind of tipping where I'm like, oh yeah, like I totally believe that this is an actual thing that really happened. And like, I can see this, the science, and I'm like, okay, stop. Like, just take a breath. Like, stop. Like, let's not get too close to the edge here. Like, let's reel it back in.
One step closer to the edge.
Oh, and I'm about to break.
There he is.
So I'm just like, you know, like let's not get carried away. Like, let's not. But like, oh, that stuff is like crazy to me. So it's like that stuff I need to like tell myself. Like, I need to have like, it's almost like I have an intervention in my brain where it's like, hey, hang on. We have a choice here. We can stop right now and we have like an entertaining anecdote, or we can keep going and lose all sense of reality. So we got a meeting in 15 minutes. So let's, you know, reel it back right now and probably never come back to it, because that's not anything that anybody needs to do. So, yeah, I have to, like, I still have that voice that, like, will stop me in my brain that's just like, hey, man, what you're doing is not a smart idea.
Yeah, I used to kind of, like, deep dive into that kind of stuff. Not like, I don't know. I was deep diving into some, like, weird, Illuminati style shit back my mid to late 20s. Yeah, it was weird. But yeah. And then at some point I was just like, I gotta like stop this. So like I realized I was getting like not on, but I was only like two stairwells away from the dude in the tinfoil hat instead of my normal like different building.
Yeah.
So yeah, but like, yeah. And in terms of stuff I won't Google, like, I don't know, a lot of it just revolves back around to being like either really dark or just stuff that sounds like way too sexual.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, there was one time, I can't remember what it was, but I was looking for this specific bottom set of like a Lego person.
Okay.
That I had when I was a kid. And I can't fucking remember what it was now. I think it was like one of the cowboy ones and it looked like it had boots on the bottom.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And
innocent enough.
So like I tried Googling like bottom half Lego cowboy, bottom, like, you know, Lego cowboy boots, things like that. And then I was like, fuck it, whatever. So I Googled the phrase Lego feet And I could not close that page fast enough.
Oh, that just sounds like something that I don't want on my Google search history forever.
Yeah, no, it's there. It's there.
Oh. Yeah, not a fan of that at all. Don't like that.
And then, of course, you know, like, I'm sure, like, if we ever go back to, like, you know, the late aughts or something like that, I'm sure it's just full of porn stars.
Yeah. I mean, of course, like looking up nudes of people and you don't really care if they're fake or not.
Oh, will you Google people, you know, by name?
I have before.
Yeah.
I've looked up, and not like to be weird, but like it is sometimes interesting to, like, you know, 'cause I've Googled like myself to see what comes up. And like, you kind of want to like, or like, have you ever Google image searched your own name? That's interesting.
Yeah, well, no, we've talked about this because thank you, Commonwealth Attorney.
Yeah, yeah, he now he's a judge, by the way.
Even better.
Yeah, so now he's a judge. But like, yeah, he's squashed yours down pretty far. But yeah, like, it's always interesting to Google your own name, but then also Google image search. I set up a Google alert for my own name, and there's a judge in North Carolina that has my name. There's a circuit judge. So like,
is one photo of me if you search my name, and it's from that fucking Imaginarium convention.
Oh, that awful one. Well, no, that wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't there for that one. So I can't call it anything because I wasn't there.
No, you were on the right track.
And now I'm gonna look you up. I'm gonna see if I can images. I'm gonna find you in here. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So, and like.
And that's it. Like, yeah, you're squashed for everything else.
Circuit judge.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like it. No. Oh my gosh. He even has he has an Instagram.
That's pretty awesome.
His account's private.
That's bull. He's a public servant. It shouldn't be.
At some point, you still gotta, like, we gotta find a way to get me and him in a room.
Yeah. Like, at some point, what I want to do is I want to start the show, and it's like me and him, and he's just pretending that he's you. And, like, we just act like everything is normal. And, like, he just, you know, like, raves about Head PE and Life is Strange for, like, 10 minutes. And then we're like... And then, like, you chime in and you're like, you know, you're quiet for like the first and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. And we do the game where like, I can't tell the difference between you two. And yeah. Like, oh my God, we could make such a fun episode out of that.
Yeah, that'd be a good bit.
And it's too late now, but like, that should have been our April Fool's Day.
Fuck, that would have been good.
And now it's too late because I didn't think of it until friggin' March 27th or 8th, whatever today is. 6th. I wasn't even
26th.
Close. So yeah, I didn't think about it until 4 days beforehand. Damn it. All right. So we're going to do one at some point. We're going to record it, and then that will be our April Fool's episode. And then we can just like have it. It'll be funny. Gosh, that's funny. Man.
I'm here for it, man. Why? I am here for it. I'm sending you an idea right now.
All right. It's like, why do I think of this stuff too late? It's
so
lame.
But yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. That is a fantastic idea.
I thought you'd be on board.
I am absolutely on board with that. See, it's because it blends reality and fantasy. I gotta send you the thing for that too.
Yeah, please do.
So you can waste your time on the turlet and read it. But yeah, like that should have been gosh, why didn't I think of that in like January, where that could have been our April Fool's Day episode? Damn it. All right. We'll do it. We'll do it though. We'll do it.
All right, is this the part of the show we get to complain now?
Oh, we sure can. Because I sent you a picture today where like, and I think I said like this timeline makes absolutely no sense to me, because, and admittedly, there's only, I think at the time of this recording, Dick Cheney's alive, and there were only 6 reviews.
It's up to 7 and has 100+ on user review, because today's the first day it hit theaters. It still has 100% reviewer rating.
Okay. Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. How that, like, here's my question though. How is it that that movie has a critic score of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the new Ghostbusters movie had 44 or 43 when it opened? And it was the lowest of all of the entire franchise, which I don't think is fair. But we're not here to talk about that. I'm sure that there's going to be
Blade
another.
Blade 2 has a fucking 57.
Right. So I'm sure there's going to be another show that is going to talk forever about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So we're not here to talk about that. But all, and I think I told you, like, when I sent that to you, I said, I think that is the nail in the coffin for me, that Rotten Tomatoes, anything involving Rotten Tomatoes is archaic and pointless in this day and age.
As horror fans, we don't put a lot of faith into a lot of publication reviews and that kind of stuff. Audience score on anything is what I look at, like website reviews and that kind of shit. I don't trust at all. Look no further than Alone in the Dark, the new game that came out last week. Like, it's so all over the place. Like, a bunch of websites were giving it like 4s and 5s out of 10s, but then like Eurogamer gave it a 5 out of 5.
So
like
weird.
There's just so much like weird shit, but like specifically Rotten Tomatoes. I don't need someone to tell me whether or not a movie's going to be good. If it's interesting to me, I'm probably going to fucking watch it.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, is like, what I will do is, because I spend a lot of time looking up movies on the Fire Stick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, it just gives you like the description and the year. And so, like, I'll spend a lot of time, like, I will look it up on IMDb. And I go into, like, here's my way of determining if I'm going to enjoy this movie. Number one, I'll look at a couple of user reviews, but not that many. But I will look up, who's in it, the runtime. If it's, like, too long or too short, then it's probably not it for me. Mm-hmm. But I'll also look at the Parent's Guide. And okay. Like, not for because it like the Parent's Guide is divided into 4 sections on IMDb. It's like sex and nudity, violence, and gore, drinking, smoking, and drug use, and then it's like terror or some other thing in there. Where hold on, I'll give you all 4 of them. I'll be specific because I want to be specific about it. So like, you scroll in and they have
dude, I already want to fucking fight one of these people on the Blood and Honey 2 review. Luke Y. Thompson, fuck you, AV Club, fuck you. This is cinema at its most punk rock. Fuck you.
Shut up. Sex and nudity, violence and gore, profanity, alcohol, drugs and smoking, and then frightening and intense scenes. That's how they divide it up. So, like, if I'm looking for a horror movie, I'll look at the violence and gore and the terror and intense scenes, because I'll, like, people will describe out, like, hey, here's what happens, and they'll spoiler it out. So, like, it will say like spoiler, you know, tap here to actually read it. But you can read like a lot. So if it's a horror movie and the violence and gore or the terror scene sections are both green and there's not much in there, I'm probably not going to like it. So like I kind of use that, and like of course, you know, you read the plot and you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. So but I don't think I've ever, it's been a long time since I've really like relied on or sought out a critic's review of a movie that I'm like on the fence on watching or might be interested in watching.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where like every time I sit down to watch, like if I watch a trailer and it seems interesting, I will, most of the time I'll just roll the dice. Like there have been multiple critic movies I disagree with. I believe like one of my top five favorite movies of all time, Jason X, is constantly shit on by critics.
Yeah.
And that movie is The Way, the Truth, and the Light.
Listen, you're talking to, or you're listening to right now, two of the approximately seven people who bought a ticket for that movie in theaters.
Opening day.
Opening.
Happy 17th birthday to me.
Yeah, I was legit, no shit, ticket number, I think I was like 003 for that movie. And that was like it was like the third showing of the day, so...
It was my 17th birthday, and there were only two other people in the theater aside from me and my four friends. And I was so stoked because it was the first time I'd bought a... It was like, you know, you have those milestones. Like, you're 18, you buy a pack of cigarettes. It's 21, you buy a beer. I was 17. I could buy my first rated R ticket with my own ID.
That's awesome. And I will go out on a limb, and I will also say that the Jason design for Jason X, like the pre Uber Jason, is one of my probably top three Jason looks, even though you only see him for like 4 minutes of screen time.
Oh, I'd absolutely agree with that though.
Like that Jason X Jason just looks awesome. Like that design looks great. And then Uber Jason, just a different level, but yeah, you and I, two card carrying members of the Jason X in theaters.
No, and I mean, club. Part of me wonders if there's some paid reviews on here, because the dude from Bloody Disgusting, you know, it'll say original score, original score, original score. It's like, so did they change their rating, or is that what they gave the original movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's sitting at 100%, but 1, 2, 3, 4 people on here had previous review or have other things on here, and it's like original score 7 out of 10, original score 3 out of 5, original score 6 out of 10, original score 11.5 out of 20. Make it a 5 or 10. Who the fuck needs it to go all the way to 20?
Like, does it really need to go to...
Yeah, and then 2.5 out of 5. So how is this sitting at 100% when it got a 50%, like a 73%, a 60%, a 60%, and a 70%? How do those equate to 100% critic reviews?
I don't want to necessarily be a part of a timeline that movie has a higher critic score than X-Men 97, which is like legitimately awesome, by the way.
I know. I'm waiting till the whole thing's done.
Yeah,
then I'm diving in.
That's an okay way to do it. Yeah, 7 reviews, 100%. This is just like, it just shows how...
No, I've actually got a fucking thing to like rant about on this. So there's this movie, Bloody Disgusting, I think did like one of the top 10 horror movies you may have missed of whatever year, 2022 or 2023. And it was this movie called The Retaliators. It sounded cool. I looked it up. Audience score 89%. Critic score, 88%. I spent $7 buying it. And, like, you know, there was some cool stuff in there. It had a bunch of, like, metal vocalists. Like, it had a bunch of, like, metal people in it, too. Like, the dude from Ice Nine Kills is one of the main people in it. And a few other people like that. I won't hold the fact that Five Finger Death Punch has a scene in it. at some point in time, I'll tell you about how I almost got into a fist fight with him with their singer when he was in a different band. And I was also 17.
Oh, geez.
So I spent like $7 to buy it digitally because the Blu-ray was like $24, but I could buy it digitally for $7. And I watched it. And it's the most fucking pathetically written paint by numbers, like revenge movie. Guy's daughter gets killed in a road rage accident, so he goes after the people that were involved, and somehow, you know, it goes deeper than the asshole that killed her. So, like, it was just so unbelievably bland, and it's sitting with 43 critic score. It has an 88.
Ugh.
And, like, I was already kind of done, but that was the one where I was just like, I'm fucking done with Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. There aren't enough critic scores on, there's only two reviews of the movie that, and these reviews are horrible, for a movie that I feel like you and I need to watch and make fun of.
Oh, God.
Have you heard of
Killer Workout?
That movie's excellent.
It is.
This movie is trash. So there's a movie that is it's basically the there's no real other way to say it. It's the Christian version of Saw. Have you heard of this?
No. Are you talking about Nefarious?
No. I'm talking about the movie called The Reconciler.
The Reconciler.
And what it is it's a knockoff of Saw made by this Christian production company. And it's about a guy who locks people together in a room who are having a disagreement so they can reconcile their differences.
Roddy Piper?
Through, like, Saw-style traps and games. But, like, the point is that you're supposed to reconcile with the person. And that's what ends it. Like, it only has two reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, so it doesn't have an actual score there, but it has a 44% audience score. And I feel like it's something that we have to watch.
Oh, Hot Rod, no.
Yeah.
That's like one of the last things he did, too.
Well, now you know what killed him. Trapping people together to reconcile their differences without the deadly games and traps.
Dude, it's not even on his fucking... Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, I didn't think it was on his IMDb.
That's how ashamed he is of it. I feel like at some point we have to... I think he plays like a... I think he plays like a detective or something. I think he plays like the streetwise cop. But yeah, they say that like it is, I haven't seen it, but they say it's like a complete and total direct ripoff of Saw, except for instead of any kind of violence or anything, it's like people forgiving each other and getting over their differences. And I'm like, I feel like that's ripe for us to make fun of.
All right, we're gonna drink a half bottle of Green River bourbon and then watch that.
I was looking it up to see what the Rotten Tomatoes score was, because I know that's what we're talking about, and it doesn't have one, so I just had to kind of force it in. I'm sorry. But like, I remember at one point when I was working in the electronics department, and there was a big controversy because there was some movie that put, like, it was one of the first movies to put, like, Rotten Tomatoes certified fresh sticker on the DVD.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, like, this big controversy because it was, like, you know, at that point, there was a big, like, back and forth about, like, is that even a valid, you know, measurement of a movie's quality because it's based on so many different things. And then, like, that kind of cemented that, like, people took it seriously and people have been taking it seriously since then. And it's annoying because it means nothing. And it doesn't take much to look at it and, like, you know, look up a movie and see, oh, well, it's got a Rotten Tomatoes score. Who cares? Because there are awful movies on there that have a really high critic score, and there are really amazing movies that have a not so good critic score. And at some point, I feel like we need to have the bigger discussion that, like, a movie critic does not need to be a job anymore.
Oh, yeah. No.
And did you know, by the way, if you are a podcast and you have over 200 reviews on iTunes and you talk about movies, you can become a Rotten Tomatoes certified reviewer?
What?
Yeah. So yeah, if you farm out iTunes reviews for your entertainment, your movie, like if you categorize it as you're a movie podcast and you have over 200 iTunes reviews, you can submit to become a Rotten Tomatoes certified reviewer. So that's how little the Rotten Tomatoes score actually matters in a movie.
Yeah.
Put that in perspective that way.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So
that's so goddamn dumb.
And like once I learned that, to be fair, there was like I made that pitch to a couple different people. I said, "Hey, if you want to do something with your podcast, become a Rotten Tomatoes certified reviewer with it, and, like, you know, maybe that's something to look into." And they didn't, but the option's there.
Shocker.
So yeah, if you want, I was saving that silver bullet for the end so I could tell you, like, hey, if there was any tiny iota that you gave any kind of shit about the Rotten Tomatoes review score, this is how easy it is to actually be a reviewer.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, it's pointless. There's nothing really original left there. And, like, yeah, like, I'm going back and, like, looking at, you know, this movie, the one I mentioned, that Retaliators has, like I said, like, an 88, and there's, so far, I have not seen a single thing I fucking recognize. Matt's movie, okay, Bloody Disgusting, first one. Like, Knotfest. Fucking Knotfest. Like, the fucking Slipknot Music Festival shouldn't be reviewing movies.
No.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you out there, if you really enjoy and put a lot of stock into Rotten Tomatoes scores, and you,
like, GFY,
you swear by them, then
hey, this is him. Vet City Con with Chris and Chris, and they tell you to go fuck yourself.
Hi, everybody. Damian Leone, writer-director of Terrifier. Chris and Chris said go fuck yourself.
We have to do both of them back-to-back now.
No, I'm here for it.
Eventually,
I'm not going to complain.
Eventually, we're going to get so many that it's going to be like a three-minute medley of just different celebrities saying, Chris and Chris say go fuck yourself. Like, eventually, that's what it's going to get. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about
no,
that.
No, it's going to be great. So, yeah, if you do enjoy the Rotten Tomato scores, you're wrong, is basically what it is. I think we should all just, if you're interested in a movie and you think you might like it, just go watch it.
Yeah, just watch it.
Don't rely on somebody else to tell you if something's good.
In almost every situation, I can almost, like, there's no movie that you're going to spend 2 hours watching that you haven't done, like, you've wasted time on something stupider than that.
Yeah. If you've listened to some of the episodes of our show, you've wasted your time on something stupider than probably whatever movie it was that you were going to go see. Unless
Agreed.
If it's The Reconciler.
God, that movie sounds abysmal.
Yeah.
All right, you hitting the button?
There was. I had my finger over it. I was just hovering. I was ready. So make sure that you go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@SymbolTN2MShows. At the time of this recording, Dick Cheney's alive, and we have, are you ready for this? 22,729 subscribers. So get in on that. Help us break 100. And we're on the march to 100 so we can get a plaque and stop talking to some of you.
Just so long as, like, I know you know, you can keep the plaque. You can keep the plaque. You've done a lot of work and everything. Like, I'm not going to fight you on that. As long as I can, like, take a picture with it.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're going to do, like, prom pictures with it. We're going to do, like high school photo with, like, the laser background and shit while we're holding it. Like,
with, like, JCPenney.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. We're doing all that. But, like, we're going to have, like, a legit, like, subscriber button photo shoot. Once we, like if and when we ever get to 100, I don't want to say that we're definitely going to. We're on the right track, but we need your help to do that. So, like our videos, share the channel out with people, and if you haven't already subscribed, then do us a favor and subscribe. And that's all.
Yes, please.
And that's all I got.
That's all I got too, homie.
Oh, you're not going to do your closing?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to do the closing. Yeah. Sorry. No. I'm just like, nah, fuck them. That's just it.
All right, we're done.
So, as always, guys, we'll be back next week. Next week, we'll be back?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. And we've got more stuff coming at you then. And until then, stay safe, stay happy, keep doing what you're doing. Back at you next week. Same bat time, same bullshit channel. And thank you for being our friends who believe in Joe Hendry with benefits.